All right. Hope that helps, Nathan. Next question is from Marcus. He says, regarding access to the MLS, can anyone get that, or do you need some kind of certification to get access? Do you go through your realtor to gain access? All right, let me toss this one out real quick. I'm just going to throw a couple of quick answers out, and then you guys fill in the blanks with whatever you would add to it. On all these calls, you've heard us say how important it is to get access to the MLS, with the exception of Joe McCall. Joe McCall's model does not require him to have access to the MLS to get good data. He can actually often just rely on Zillow, which is interesting. But everybody else across the board has said, use the MLS for your comps. So it's obviously important, and it's the best place to get good comps. And not only that, but most people have no clue how powerful your MLS is, really. They get in there even when they use it, and they just don't understand the extent of the quality of the information you can get and what you can do with that information. And I highly recommend you spend some time with those MLS goggles videos in the bonus section of the course here, because you'll really get a keen insight into a number of different MLSs and how to extract value out of them that most people miss. In terms of getting MLS access, obviously choice number one is become a realtor. And typically, only realtors can have access to the MLS. And I said typically. It is something that is owned by your local board of realtors. It's their private system for marketing property, and they closely guard it. And in fact, realtors can get pretty hefty penalties for giving out access to their MLS. So a lot of realtors will just, in fact, a lot of realtors are mistakenly will tell you it's illegal for other people to access the MLS. It's not. It's just against the rules of the club they're in. But that's number one, is you can become licensed. And Pete, you're licensed, right?
Yes, I am.
Brian, are you licensed?
No, I'm not.
Okay, and I am not licensed. I used to be. I was licensed for a number of years, and I did that to a large extent to get MLS access. If you're not licensed and you don't want to be licensed but you want MLS access, number one, you can get your spouse licensed. A lot of investors will have a spouse that will be their realtor / MLS access if that works for your situation. Another way to do it is to get into a mutual back-scratching relationship with a realtor friend. And maybe you have a friend who's a realtor already, and you approach them and say, hey, can I tap into your MLS? I need to be able to make offers, blah, blah, blah. You know, you basically make your case. And sometimes just because they're your friend, they'll let you do it as long as you promise not to get them in trouble, right? That's one angle that you can take with it. Another would be to actually become an unlicensed assistant for one of these realtors. You're not really going to be their assistant, because that's not what you're in this business to be. But by becoming their quote-unquote unlicensed assistants get their own MLS login, because they need to be able to get into the MLS to do things for the realtor that they are assisting. So you can get your own MLS login that way. Well, what's in it for the realtor? Well, you have to fill in that blank. Either you can promise them that you're going to give some business to them in exchange for giving you that access. Or, you know, if you're marketing out there and you're bringing in leads, you're going to be filtering all those leads through your own criteria, much of which we've discussed here, and you're going to have some deals you're going to do. You have a lot of deals. The majority of leads you get are not going to be deals for you. And rather than just throwing those in the trash, those are people that have a house problem they need solved. Why not hand those to the realtor who's a quote-unquote assistant you are? So basically you're exchanging free leads that they don't have to pay for in return for this symbiotic relationship that works. Those are, in my opinion, some of the best ways to get MLS access. It's not nearly as hard as a lot of people make it out to be. Craig Fuhrer just literally put out an ad in the local in the Baltimore Craigslist, and a realtor answered. And I don't know if he pays him a couple hundred bucks every time he does a deal or something like that. He came up with something that was just real straightforward. So that's my answer in terms of getting MLS access. What would you guys add to that real quick?
I really don't have anything to add. I think you nailed it.
Yeah, you nailed it. I just have to say I recommend it highly. And the reason I recommend it is for three reasons. Number one is the obvious MLS access. Number two is you can get instant access to properties. And so, I mean, here in the D.C. area, a lot of the houses are going to have Sentry Lock, which means it's a key card to get in, so it's not with a push-button code, the lock boxes. And so you need to be a licensed agent to have that. And the third reason to be an agent is if you have a property that is really competitive in REO, you can give up your side of the commission, and it'll give you an edge over the other offers.
Absolutely. All right, Marcus, I see as far as feedback, if you sent yourself a copy of the feedback, can you just forward that to me, or would you like us to put it back in the contact form? If you can forward that to me, if you have my email address, go ahead and do that. I don't want to make it a part of this recording, so I'm not going to give it out right now. But if you already have my email address, Marcus, you could just forward it. That'd be fine, or copy and paste it in that contact form, either one, and thank you. And by the way, let me go ahead and make another request for you guys. If you haven't had a chance to, I really would like your feedback. Let me know how you feel about the quality of these sessions. And, you know, just be candid and honest, and I want to hear whatever you got. If you could go to the contact form on reiology.com and share that with me, I sure would appreciate it. Nathan has a question. If Pete does not buy a homeowner house, how does he extract his profits if he does not do back-to-back closings? Does he use his end buyer's funds to close his option deals?
Great question. And we're kind of confusing a couple concepts, so I'll just explain it briefly. In the option, I don't have to do back-to-back closings. Now, think about that. If I don't have to do back-to-back closings, then that means I don't incur transaction costs. So here's an example. I put an option on the property for $100,000, I sell it to one of my investor buyers for $110,000, I bring the purchase contract from my investor buyer to my seller and have them execute it. So there's a purchase and sale between my buyer and the seller. The only thing that keeps them from closing is me. I'm in the middle with the option, and that option prevents them from closing on their contract together. And so I make the difference between what I agreed to with the seller and what I buy it for, in this example, $10,000, that's how much I get to extinguish the option and step out of the way to let them close. And so that's one way that you can use an option. Now, the other thing you mentioned was with a double close. And in a double close, you actually, if you're the wholesaler in the middle, you buy the property and you own it for a nanosecond and then resell it to your buyer. The question that you asked is, do I use my buyer's funds to fund my purchase? It depends on the state. In the state of Maryland, it's a dry closing state. So depending on your title company and depending on the financing that's in place that your buyer is putting on, if it's cash or a hard money lender, then I can use those funds to actually fund my purchase. So I never have to come to the table with any money or transactional funding. Now, that's in Maryland. In the state of Virginia, it's different. In Virginia, it's a wet closing state. That means when I close, the funds have to be on deposit with the title company. And so in that case, I've either got to have my cash at the title company or use transactional funding to close my purchase in order to turn around a minute later and sell it to my buyer.
Trent, just so anybody, in case anyone doesn't know, transactional funding is full funding for a deal, but it's basically just for a day or a moment. So it's actually funded, and you pay a fee for that, but you have a buyer in place. Transactional funding is a very secure form of funding for all the parties involved, and it gets the job done in situations like that.
Yeah, it's a little bit advanced for some folks, but think of it this way. It's a great way to introduce your private lender to working with you in a private lender capacity, is give him a taste of transactional funding, and he'll be hooked with you forever.
I've been pacing around the room. I just noticed what you typed on the screen, Brian. Nice.
And if anyone has more questions about transactional funding, I do transactional funding. I've got a website. It's cashformyclosing.com. There's a Q&A on there, and it'll give you some insight into it. And if you need proof of funds letters, you can get them there as well.
Go ahead and pull it up on your page there. Let's see it. Do you do transactional funding nationwide at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just going to say, hey guys, take advantage of Brian's proof of funds letters. He's got the best deal out there. What is it? $10 a month, Brian?
Yeah, $9.99 or a measly $1.99 per letter. So it's really easy. You just come here, pump in the information, hit submit, take you to PayPal. You can pay $1.99. If you're, you know, what most investors do is they're out there actively making offers, and so $10 a month, and it just auto bills, and they can generate as many letters as they want to.
Yeah, that's very, very powerful for those of you that need a proof of funds letter.
And I'll tell you what else is powerful about it is just the fact that, I mean, at this point, you guys all know Brian, but I've known Brian for years and years, and he's solid, and he's the source behind that. So you know that this is not just some fly-by-night operation. He actually has backing and has the ability to do what he says that he's able to do. So, yeah, so cashformyclosing.com, if you guys are in need of transactional funding, highly recommended source for that. And then also I want to have you be sure and stop by and say hi to Pete and everybody who participates in the discussion forum over at flippinghomes.com. There you go, it's going to come up, flippinghomes.com. Yep, there you go. Behold, Pete.
Yeah.
Live on the interweb.
There's a great forum here. Great forum where you can interact with other investors, and it's a great place to find a lot of great info.
That's right.
Hey, I don't know if you saw this, JP, but take a look at the top of the forum. I actually have created Android and iPhone apps so you can stay plugged into the forum from your mobile phone.
Really? I did not know that.
Yes, sir, and they're free downloads, so check it out.
Oh, that's fantastic. Bravo, my friend. Hey, we have one more question here, and then we'll wrap up. It is from Nathan again. How does your option fee show up on the HUD?
It doesn't. And here's how it works. I'm only dealing with motivated sellers, and they, believe it or not, they really don't care what the option fee is. The only reason I've got an option fee at all is because you need to have consideration in order to have a valid contract. So offer acceptance and consideration, those are the three points that constitute a valid contract. And so, I mean, for most of the – I mean, I'm usually given $10 for an option fee. Here's the brutal reality of it. I used to give it only a dollar, and nobody believed it. Because, you know, I mean, I'm teaching how to use options in real estate investing, and nobody would believe me. I only give them a dollar. Here's the brutal truth. Most of the time, I never give them the money. They never ask for it. It just doesn't matter, folks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. No, the option doesn't show up on the HUD-1. There's only one time the option fee will show up on the HUD-1, and that's if I'm going to exercise the option, in which case that option fee gets credited back to me on the HUD-1 as part of my purchase. But that's the only time that the option fee shows up on the HUD-1.
All right. Making a note to myself here before I forget something. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much, both Pete and Brian. I really appreciate your time, your expertise. You guys have really, really given the good stuff tonight, and it's been another great session. And this wraps up our core training for the REI Deal Evaluation Intensive. Now, just a reminder, we have four more sessions that are going to be coming. Really, practically speaking, it's possible I may record one or two of them the week between Christmas and New Year, but more than likely they're all going to be within the first couple of weeks of January, just with the holidays, and next week I'll be in Columbia with my dad. So, but they will all be delivered with a nice shiny ribbon in your hands by that point. And I really hope everybody's gotten the tremendous value that we have aimed for here. Please give me your feedback. Thank you to everyone who has traversed along this journey with us. I appreciate it. And I guess that's it. We'll say
goodnight. Happy investing, everybody.
Happy investing. Everybody.